around the NFL podcast is really feeling themselves.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a hotel room filled with heroes. Whoa! Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, Dan.
Hey!
Hello! Literally in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Room of the... Well, let's not say the name.
We
of
should
the
not
hotel.
Say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we are overlooking Bloomington, Minnesota, a beautiful
Wait, why don't you want to say the name? Because we have such a high opinion of ourselves, we're worried stalkers might come and get us.
Yes.
No, that checks out. That
Obviously, yes.
No, we are staying in this wonderful hotel establishment that happens to have a TGI Fridays connected to it.
Yeah, it does.
And have we mentioned, I don't think it's come up on the show yet, also a 24-hour IHOP.
I mean, we're rolling.
Squeeze me, yeah. Baking powder.
Rolling in deep luxury.
All I want are chocolate chip pancakes. I feel like I'm screaming. All I want are chocolate chip pancakes.
It's possible. It's open 24 hours in a row.
Thanks. I feel great.
So just to paint a picture, and maybe Lindsay can take a photo for the audience. Greg, Colleen, sitting on one bed. Mark in a chair. Wes in a pull-up couch. I'm on the opposite twin bed.
Couch.
It's a pull-out chair.
Well, it's an easy chair, but yes.
And Lindsay also manning the technology. I don't know if she's going to make it through the show. There's a lot of wires. I feel like the machines might take over by the end of the show, but we're going to...
definitely looks like a bomb.
Make sure she's okay.
It was definitely like a season 3 episode of MacGyver, you know, before the show, and she finally got it all together by tying different, you know, things with twigs.
As a side note, this is the room that we're staying in together all week.
Yeah.
Right? And it's tight quarters.
It already smells weird.
It does.
Yeah. So
blame
a lot to get
Colleen.
To. A huge, huge show. Tuesday, taping this late Tuesday, and what do we have coming up? Last night was opening night. I don't buy that.
Ow!
And you could throw your corporate jargon at me all you want, shadowy league figures. It's always going to be media day, and maybe I'll allow you media night. Don't hit me with this opening night. Hokum.
It's moving in that hyper-corporate direction, so I agree with your
heading.
Okay. I don't think you have a choice, though.
Oh, in written copy, yeah, you get banged. But in this space,
yeah.
Okay.
Media night.
I mean, maybe our listeners can tell us, do people like opening night? I'm trying to put myself, if I was 14 years old, would I watch it? I probably would, but as an adult, it's a
if
tough...
If my team was playing.
Yeah.
For sure. But since it's on NFL Network, I'd ingest every minute of coverage.
Sure, it's excellent programming, very compelling, no matter what your age or gender is.
Absolutely. And so we'll take some takeaways. Also, whatever's going on in the news and all the intrepid reporters of around the NFL are going to be covering both teams all week. And then we'll check in with some of the written pieces. I know sometimes, somewhat strangely, but also understandably, we hit up against this wall where we have all these great listeners, but do we have people that are reading our content? Well, there's some great written content from everybody on the team, so we're going to talk about a couple pieces, including Wes, who wrote a banger.com/members. Belichick, not just a genius coach, but also a gifted team builder. So we'll get into that a little bit. And maybe even Greg wrote a banger. If we have time.
Maybe.
We'll see.
If we have time.
On the banger scale, where do you rate it?
It's low, but it's compelling on various fronts.
Mark handled that.
Cool.
And yes, the TGI Fridays, by far the most important aspect of this trip. We set an over-under in our Thursday show. Or I set the over-under of 99.5 drinks for the four original members.
Oh, I have to be included in this. I made it for a drink already.
Well, I threw you in.
The only reason why, let me just say, the only reason why you weren't initially included was because you're staying downtown in your Fancy Pants hotel.
Right.
And I didn't add it in. But what I could, I'll leave it up to Greg, who's an addict in this field, I could... adjust the over-under if we want to include Colleen. Greg, you make the decision, and then I'll adjust.
Yeah, I think you can do it in the spirit of fun and games.
Okay, so the over-under has been adjusted. It was 99.5 drinks consumed by the entire group. I am going, or the desert people are going to bump it
to 199.
to the desert people are going to bump it to 107.5. 107.5 is where they put it down. Remember, wow. Connie not staying at the hotel, right. So you have to factor in all these things.
Were she staying here, you would double the total, I think. That would be where I that's where I would go
with
the safe bet.
Yes. Disrespectful.
I have
she lays utter siege to the bar. We've seen this.
I spent more time though at this hotel than I have at my hotel. So I feel like I'm staying here.
And well,
I,
you're always welcome, Connie.
Colleen is I think motivated and maybe even petty enough to just come here to raise that total now that she knows that she's in it.
I like that we put Colleen through like a 14-hour day, and now we're continuously in a circle ripping on her high qualities.
Ah, it's so funny, guys.
Yeah.
It got real. So 107.5 is the over-under, and I have been tabulating and tracking. I'm not joking. Since Sunday night.
On a napkin. I've been watching you this year taking notes.
The exact total for drinks between Wes, Sess, the old Zeuser, Connie Fox now involved, and Greg is 26. Well, you had two just now, didn't you, Connie?
No, just one.
26.
Well, for the record, I said hard over and it wouldn't be close, you know, on our
last show.
Well, how
about to help contribute to
I don't need to.
Greg's sitting on the old goose egg right now.
Not a team player.
This might come right
down
to Sunday
night. I'm writing tonight. It's not going to. It'll be a blowout.
It is at 26, over under at 107.
It's going to be Seahawks Broncos. That's the thing.
And I have a new favorite person, by the way.
Okay. The Soosh?
The Soosh.
Oh, the Soosh. We love the Soosh.
He's a bartender at Fridays. Yep. On his name tag, the S-U-S-H.
It's a big deal.
Soosh.
Do you know where the name comes from? His last name is Susharamba, which is Czech.
Wes is already like deep friends with the TGI Fridays bartenders on day three.
Wes is so different than me in a lot of ways, but the one that probably stands out most is like social settings. And I'm sitting next to Wes, and I only want to talk to you guys, and I just want to have a couple of vodkas before the show. And Wes is sitting directly to my left, and Wes starts chatting up this dude from Green Bay, starts asking the Soosh about what his last name derives from.
I like it.
And it's like, I totally respect it. Wes, you are a great man and a great conversationalist.
A social butterfly.
And a social butterfly. I'm like,
who knew?
You're curious. You're a curious man.
Well, hold on. You also, when you know you're going to be at a bar for 5 or 6, 7 days in a row, it behooves you to befriend every bartender you see, to get in early, to dig in, and then the free drinks start coming later on.
I would say the La Ravio Magnifico here is that I am the exact opposite outside of a bar setting. Like, I don't want to hear anything any human.
There
thing.
Is a benefit.
Nothing interesting can come of a conversation on a sidewalk.
So there you go. That's what's going on today's show. And so let's get into it. Let's start with media night. Before we get into some news, let's talk about the opening. It's kind of like the opening kickoff of this insane week of coverage, and it was held at the XL Energy Center. I call it the X. Some people don't. Some people do. I call it the X in St. Paul. Mark, get us started here. Your takeaways on Media Night.
Well, I would say that Media Night, I think for each of us and on different level, there's some anxiety attached to it because it is a barrage of journalists and non-journalists collapsing on two teams that probably typically don't want to be there. Last night's media night, to be fair, was my favorite of them all. It was a little bit downbeat compared to some of the crazy elements we've seen in the past. I thought the Eagles were actually quite fascinating. I'm more convinced than ever that my job on media night is to talk to coaches. I don't really care about the players that much. Listening to Josh McDaniels talk for 20 minutes, I found someone I thought he knows where he's going, no matter he's not saying it. He is feeling himself this week. He is starting to break away a little bit from Patriots speak. They were asking him about Bill Belichick's future, about his future, and he wasn't revealing anything, but he was doing it in a less robotic, refined way. My last note is the way this is going, and you mentioned it, Dan, it's becoming such a television event.
TV show, more than ever.
I know they're going to have to find someone to ask questions of these various players and coaches at some point. I'm not sure that 5 years from now, journalists will even have an ingrained role in this event. I don't know how they would figure it out, but journalists seem to be at this point less and less a part of this, and it just becomes more of a cavalcade.
Well, two things. First thing that came to my mind, because, Mark, you are famous for your love of coordinators. When you have someone like a Josh McDaniels, who, of course, used to be a head coach, became a coordinator, now set to again become a head coach with the Colts. Is there part of you that a little bittersweet that you're losing him from the coordinator ranks. Big coordinator.
You're famously, you know,
obsessed
coordinator.
Well, yeah, because if you have never, you know, most fans would never have been to a media night. Like the assistant coaches sit up in the bleachers, and it's a little bit easier to get to them. Whereas the head, Bill Belichick, has 7,000 people around him, and it's like for me, like I'm not even going to go at. Try that. I know, Dan, you
but
got
in
there.
Answer the question.
Yes, it is a little bittersweet. I mean, whenever you lose a coordinator to the higher ranks, yes, I'm much more interested in the coordinators than most of the head coaches.
For me, like, I'm wacky, irreverent guy on NFL.com. So, like, my job was, you know, what's going on the floor.
I love what you did.
Who's wearing funny outfits? Who's, you know, what's, like, the shenanigans? And almost always, and we've done it, Mark, you and I, 7 years in a row for NFL.com, insanely, there's going to be people dressed up, and that's part of like the hook to try to get players, especially the bigger name guys, to talk to you. There was nobody dressed up. There was
like two people.
There was
a shark.
One guy's a shark,
right?
And it was not even an expensive shark costume,
but they stood out in a weird way.
There was one guy from Austria wearing a football uniform, and how bad was it in terms of, and part of like when they send all these local and national news crews, oh, find the wacky people to talk to.
Yeah.
I saw some like newscast interviewing a guy, and all he was wearing was just like a doctor's like jacket. And that was all he had. And they're like,
oh,
so
no.
What's your outfit? It's like, and even the guy was like, you know, I'm just wearing this like a doctor's thing.
We should...
It's part of my radio show here.
Was it kind of lame? Like,
it was. So it was
more businesslike, I thought.
It was definitely less of a circus, and which you could either like or hate. And that's why I about halfway through the Patriots, I just went, I saw Belichick. It was a big crowd, but he wasn't being swarmed. So I kind of snuck in two rows back, and then somebody left. And all of a sudden, for like 25 minutes, I was just in front of Belichick. And I wrote about it on the end around, if you want to check it out. I just essentially just watched Belichick be Belichick.
Yeah.
And I did kind of come upon, when I was writing late last night, the realization that no one's ever had been involved with more media days than Bill Belichick. 8 for the Patriots, 2 for the Giants. Who's beat 10? So just watching
9 for the Patriots.
9?
Wasn't he defensive coordinator on the 96 Patriots?
That's
team?
A good call.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're off to just a copy.
But your question to Bill was amazing.
What was your question?
All right. So basically I'm sitting in front of him for, you know, like I said, about 30 minutes. And I was like thinking to myself, well, I should probably ask him something. I'm literally 4 feet away from him, staring at him. I couldn't really.
After a while, he might just look at you and be like, come on,
what
man.
What do you got?
Right. Be productive. Work.
Yeah. So I wanted to add
no
something.
Days off.
No days off. No days off.
No days off.
So I had this, and Lindsay, I believe you have, you could play that for us. Here is my question to Bill.
Oh, wow.
And Mr. Belichick's response, modern Vince Lombardi.
Bill, Super Bowl hoodie, game day decision, or is it planned out?
Game day, yeah. Game day, yeah. See how it's going.
That was it?
Let me just
you
explain to you.
Needed a follow-up there.
Let me explain to you. There was no opportunity for a follow-up. Belichick, because he's right in front of me, before I finish the question, which obviously is not a good question, but before I even finish the question,
that was a good question.
I thought it was great.
I learned something from
it,
which is
it
not true
right.
of every question.
He answered it like a guy who's answered it many times, which he probably has because he's done this so many damn times.
Huh.
So like he cuts off my question, answers it, and then he locks in on me, and he locks in eye contact, and he just like saws me in half, like game day, game day, game day, and then he just looks away. And like he made me feel like I was about 3 foot tall.
A 3 foot tall Jets.
Parts of Dan are still left.
Yeah, it is my innards are still spilled out at the X. And then like to compound matters, like like 5 minutes later, some little 10 year old, some sand. Oh no, we shouldn't say things like that about little kids.
No.
A 10 year old boy asked a great question, a nuanced question that Bill thought about. And gave a really nice answer to, and that made things feel worse. But it was cool to see Bill in action, and I really enjoyed that a lot more than seeing Pick Boy for the 400th time on the floor.
Well, one of the things you don't know about Belichick is he knows who the Jets fans are. Like, he can smell it.
Yeah.
He can smell them, and that's part of his bitterness and hatred towards that organization that he just goes after.
He can smell the green desperation.
I thought one of the craziest things, because I was sitting behind Dan at one point, and when they introduced, they brought out Nick Foles, who, whether I like him or not, he's a harmless character. He's not a villain in this whole thing.
You're not going to get a soundbite from him, that's for sure.
Well, he certainly has sort of a makeup how he's walking around this week with those, like, kind of, like... He's wearing, like, the glasses my mom wore in the 80s.
He looks like an accountant that rolled in his... But anytime an Eagles came out, the stadium, because there's fans there, which makes it a delightful place to write articles, by the way, they were booing him like crazy. And I was thinking, these Patriots fans, how dare you be this rancorous towards the Eagles? Have a little bit. And then Dan was like, no, this is Vikings fans that poured in
that
from the city
sense.
To destroy the Eagles. Right?
Yeah, and it's a very unusual. Think about if the Vikings won and didn't get trounced in the NFC title game, what a different vibe.
It would have been incredible.
That event would have been.
Full stadium.
Yeah, it would have been the best opening night. I talked to Steve Belichick for a decent amount of time and came away – like loving his sort of affect. Like if you thought Bill Belichick has a dry humor, and he does. I mean, he is trying to be funny sometimes.
Steve, a real wit cracker.
Steve Belichick is even more bone dry. Everything is the most flattest affect, but he does it in a funny way. Like I sort of asked him about. I was talking to him about Devin McCourty, and he said at one point, he's like, "You know, fans, they don't understand." What Devin McCourty does, I don't even really understand what Devin McCourty does. No, but he sounds
Greg,
like
say
it.
Yes, and let's generate some headlines here.
No, and he spoke very intelligently about Devin McCourty and passionately, but he has this sort of like, you can't quite believe this is Bill Belichick's son in some way. And it's one of the reasons why I don't buy that Bill Belichick is retiring this season and that he was wearing his father's hat as some sort of emotional goodbye. It's because he loves coaching with his son. I think that's got to be one of the – maybe the number one highlight of his entire NFL career, and I don't think he wants to give that up.
I wish Gronk was there. I feel like that would have maybe
– It worked out perfectly for the concussion protocol. And we're going to get to Gronk in a second. Gronk – it sounds like Gronk is fine, but he was able to duck out of – media day.
It is a league rule, to be fair. No one in the concussion protocol all season.
Nope. I'm saying it worked out for
Carson Wentz was there. I mean, he was there for a limited amount of time, but he sat up in the stands and
not a
was mobbed.
So
he, no, different deal, different but situation. I thought that was good of him to come out and ask questions.
Any other thoughts before we move on to the news?
This sounds maybe cheesy, but I thought that we've already encountered probably 150 people from Minnesota, these stadiums that have been trying to help out. And they don't always know the answer to when you're trying to – because they don't work in these stadiums, so they're doing the best they can. It is truly a great group of people. We've been to some Super Bowls where you don't get those volunteers, but Minnesota's been good so far when I think we came in with a lot of worries. The weather hasn't been a huge issue, has it?
Yeah, that hasn't been bad.
A little Minnesota – shout out to the people. Huh?
Well, because I mean, I think it's a Super Bowl.
Where you're going?
No, because it's probably going to get a lot of pre shots come in before you even get here, and it's been fine so far.
Well, it hasn't gotten too cold yet.
Two very quick things.
Though.
Is that James Harrison is he's just the most intimidating badass that you would ever want to talk to, and I spent a while next to him talking. It was a couple Pittsburgh reporters and me, and they were really trying to drive home why he left, and he just answered things in such a way. It was just I was sort of in awe next to him. One guy asked him about the Patriot way, and he's like, I don't know about any Patriot way. I got the James Harrison way. Been doing that my whole life. I don't need a Patriot.
We were also sitting next to Scott Zolak, of all people, at the table next to us.
No, you were not.
And it was an insane group of, like, it was their radio makeup, and they were, like, jumping over tables and backslapping, and at one point, backed us out of our own workspace, and Zolak was just, like, this gigantic, lumbering man shouting at the room.
A little bigger than I thought he would be.
Way bigger for a quarterback.
And I was like...
Gronk size.
Yeah,
yes.
It did cross my mind, should I talk to him or maybe get a soundbite for the pod? But it's like, no, I don't. There's no way that ends well. Either he's not on the show. If it's going to happen, he should be on the show.
Right.
And what happens to interview him, and he's a great guy.
I think he'd be fun on the show. We should do it. I do like this Eagles team, just the vibe that they have.
Yeah.
It's a really fun team. Maybe I'm getting that Stockholm syndrome, like when someone fell in love with the Broncos that year.
I picked them.
Right.
I did too. Yeah.
And I was right, by the way. So
okay, the right one. No, I'm talking about the year that they got
blown
out by the
Seahawks. I fell in love with Dan Quinn of the Seahawks.
After watching these Eagles games and going to their locker room after the game, and especially last night, it's a great team of personalities.
Yeah, it is.
Like the defensive line, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson is great, and I just think they've got the right attitude.
Brent Celek, I think Brent Celek is fun to listen to.
And you could ask Mark this: not as good as the people of Minnesota.
Right.
All right. I said it sounds cheesy, but they've actually been super nice, and I kind of appreciate
they are
that.
Really
you know,
nice. Very nice people.
Mark's pick for Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah. You know,
all
it's
right.
called Minnesota nice. That's what they
people.
Say.
All right.
You know, and especially like the children. I noticed like. Give it up. Get up. Give it up for the
Greg.
Children.
Checking
Greg
in on all the
constantly interacting with children. That sounds healthy.
All right, let's do some news. Let's start with Rob Gronkowski, who we brought up, and Gronk, of course, suffered that concussion in the first half of the AFC title game, and now gets 2 weeks to get cleared and healthy. The Boston Herald reports that Gronk has been going quote full tilt in practice, and everyone believes. That the clearance for the tight end is a matter of time at this point. Obviously great news for the Pats, Wes, who, lest we forget, Gronk is the type of player who could single-handedly win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I said a couple weeks ago, Gronk has never been more important to Tom Brady in that offense than he's been this year. You saw that in December, especially the Steelers game. Rap Sheet reported that he was jovial and at ease at their send-off party. He certainly sounds like a guy they're expecting to be cleared later in the week.
They're not allowed to talk to the media, so why is he? I guess you are allowed to get on Instagram story and talk about the freezy weather in Minneapolis. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that, you know, brilliant.
I did not see it.
Clip.
Freezy, yeah. Freezy. Yeah.
He was like,
well, his spelling
he's
skills
like, I'm here
are
in Minneapolis. Freezy, freezy.
Well, he was like rowdy on stage before the for the send off at Gillette. Like
he's fine.
He looked
Give me a
completely
break.
Fine.
You rarely see. I mean,
Mark puts his foot down.
I already find it that I know we have to like monitor every inch of this, but he is playing.
Well, there's only been one Super Bowl that he's been healthy for, and that was
right.
the Seahawks Super Bowl. And it will be like I do wonder how they're going to approach him because basically the Jaguars. Decided to put two people on him the whole time and make the outside guys beat you.
I sat through an extremely long pre-Super Bowl production meeting for the written content on our fine website.
Sexy.
And we went through each of the final four teams at that stage. And one of the topics that was pitched, remember, there are no bad ideas, just like there are no bad questions. You let me know if you thought that was a bad idea. Someone pitched, oh, the Super Bowl is the last real thing that Gronk has to conquer and be a star at. And it's like, well, like we said, he's only been healthy once. And that one game, I think he did 8 for 66 and a touch, something like that. He played
Burn
well.
KG
yeah,
right on
he was fine.
Play.
He scored
he
a touchdown in the Super Bowl in a close game.
No, he was fine in that game, and he missed the game outright last year, obviously, with his injury, back injury, and he had a high ankle sprain that probably cost the Patriots Super Bowl against the Giants. Remember that Hail Mary at the end of the game? But Gronk is Gronk.
Well, the flip side is how many players have come back from as many injuries as he has and still operate at the level that he
True.
Does.
It's not a crazy point, though, that if he had as much as everyone sees him as maybe the greatest tight end ever, he would go up another level with a monster Super Bowl performance.
Or a better quarterback.
Let's spin out of the Super Bowl for a second and talk about Dean Pease, retirement over. That was quick. The Titans hired the coordinator corner with Mark Sessler.
I don't know if Pease ranks high in my intrigue list, but continue.
Titans hired ex-Ravens defensive coordinator Dean Pease as their defensive coordinator. Greg, give us the dirty. Why is his retirement already over?
Give us some dirty Pease.
Oh, it sounds like he was forced to retire, that he essentially was fired by the Ravens. It's a familiar person to Mike Vrabel, obviously, from New England. He sort of had a similar ending in New England where they didn't renew his contract, didn't exactly fire him.
This is a weird situation to me that Pease got so much more pop than Matt LaFleur, the guy hired to be offensive coordinator, which is the most important coaching position on that team with Marcus Mariota's development. And he's a guy who worked under Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, two of the best offensive minds in modern NFL history, and then Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, the two best offensive minds in the current NFL. This guy's never called plays before, but he seems custom-made to be Marcus Mariota's quarterback.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, obviously Kyle Shanahan's going to get the credit for what happened with RG3's rookie season, but Matt LaFleur was the quarterback coach there. He was the quarterback coach when you have Jared Goff turning it around, so I think it's an interesting pairing for Marcus Mariota for sure.
Didn't LaFleur interview for the head coaching job before?
He did.
He did.
Yep.
Rabel? That's interesting.
Is it awkward?
I don't know. I mean, apparently not.
And it's nice that the Rams didn't have to let him leave either if they didn't want to. And some teams, like the Eagles last year with John DeFilippo, say like, no, sorry.
Blocked it.
Speaking of John DeFilippo, talk about bangers. Mark's been cultivating one for some time. We got a banger
Coming out later this week.
All right.
Sitting with the edit desk now.
I'm distracted because Colleen was fascinated by Gronkowski's bad pair of dress shoes, and I just feel like it needs
during
to be
the
addressed.
Entire Gronk discussion, I went down a rabbit hole. On GQ, they're throwing all the shade at Gronk because of his dress shoes that he wore. And I mean,
guess
like,
he's kind of wearing
kind of bad.
He's wearing the shoes like, hey, they're Gronk, like, you have to dress up, and you're like, oh, get that one pair of dress shoes I wear. That's not, got the
they look fine to me.
I'm not one to criticize, but they seem serviceable.
They kind of look like a pair you have, Mark. Like the brown. You
sure.
Brown.
Again,
they're basic brown.
I think he
shoes,
checked the box.
Leather.
I mean, he's, you know,
they're not square toe. Are they? It doesn't matter. Who cares? All right.
In other news, Blake Bortles underwent wrist surgery. How about that? And because of that, that puts them in a tricky situation. The Jaguars, it might even. Wes, help them make their decision or make their decision for them whether or not he will be back in Jacksonville in 2018.
Well, a lot of people are confused by the fifth-year option for first-round picks, that it's guaranteed for injury only, which means if Blake Bortles can't pass a physical, that $19 million for 2018 is guaranteed. And if you've heard the Jaguars talk about Blake Bortles, they get awfully bizarrely chesty about how they made the right decision.
Oh, yeah.
Going with him.
Oh, yeah. The owner, Shad Khan, said, like, looks like we weren't the biggest idiots ever now about Blake.
Oh, my goodness.
As they put him on
be careful.
As they put him on the shortest leash you've ever seen for playoff games.
In that date that he has to pass the physical by is March 14th.
And the 16th,
and
I believe.
The 16th. Yeah.
Mark stuck it to you there, Greg.
Yeah, right.
How'd that feel?
It felt fine.
Got my hand. I got my finger on the pulse of the NFL calendar. Catch up,
I want it to be accurate. I thought it was the first day of the league year, but I was wrong. I wonder now. I mean, now we're seeing a report from our guy Ian Rappaport that says, you know, they want to keep Blake Bortles, and it's because they don't have a choice. So forget the whole Kirk Cousins thing.
Big news for the Bills. Eric Wood, their center, he's been a real rock along their line for close to a decade. He's retiring, and it's because of a neck injury. That the health issues connected to that will keep him from continuing his NFL career. It's not official yet. They're working out some of the cap issues, but Eric Wood's career is over. Wes, he's a Cincinnati guy, right?
Went to my high school. One of the few guys in the Rudolph, Eric Wood, a couple of long snappers. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Elder High School in Cincinnati. Yep.
Can I ask you because
KG Whites?
His hair. He has one of the most interesting heads of hair in the NFL. What did it possibly look like back during high school? Because it's an insane head of hair at the moment. It's
well,
a curly.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I don't know.
He graduated about 10 years after.
Okay, you know the beat on that.
He does have like the greatest American Heroes haircut.
He's
really impressive ringlets.
But I think like when I think of Eric Wood, you've also had Ryan Shazier and Cam Chancellor, and it's just a reminder that we need these reminders come contract negotiation time that you really are one play away from the end of your career. Every time you suit up for an NFL game.
For sure. Circling back to the Patriots, Greg, you were at their media availability?
Oh, yeah.
Today? Any takeaways from that?
No, not today. That was...
Egg on my face.
I thought you said last night.
Daddy got burned in the hotel room.
As you bounce on the bed.
Who has been...
Our room.
Who's had...
Kevin Patra was there.
Oh, Patra. Sure.
We were taping our video show, which is going up on Friday, although some segments I think will come out.
Some segments?
I'm permanently I think, messed up my neck.
Yeah, we went on a hellacious roller coaster.
Are we going to talk about this?
Do we want to talk about it?
Sure. I mean, quickly. I mean, we went on a roller coaster. Mark had to beg off number two.
Well, no, I mentally prepared myself. I don't do roller coasters since age 13. Did it today for the benefit of the show. And then it was like, hey, we're going to go do a second one.
Right.
I'm not. You are. Right. I will watch you do a second one.
I don't know. It was a little Kenny Britt-like, I thought.
Well, sometimes, you know, that is unfair. But
like Kenny Britt at media day, I walked by him at one point. Kenny Britt, he's in the Super Bowl, which is insane.
It's not fair. There's no karma.
And I saw some dude, like, roll over to Britt and tried to get some like quotes about the Browns and what was it like being on the Browns and all this stuff. And Kenny would be like, I ain't talking about that. Dilly dilly.
Stop it.
And then the guy tried to circle back around with a different angle. And he's like, so, but tell me, how different is it? And he's like, dilly dilly.
It's like, oh, how many ways should I destroy an employer that paid me $17 million to do literally sub nothing?
True.
I think he knows he robbed them. So, and well, I'm not giving Ken.
What a man
I
mean, of conscience.
This is a man that was arrested at a Hoboken car wash once. So I'm not going to like give him too much credit, but I think he was basically shutting his mouth because he knows he got away with a felony robbery. Let's be honest. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Not on that.
All right.
No.
And finally,
we've covered Kenny enough.
And finally, yes, I made a joking reference to it earlier. WEEI, one of the leading radio networks in the Boston area. Greg, I know you were a big fan growing up.
No, I despised EEI.
Wow.
All right.
I mean,
egg on your face again.
Well, I don't think it was even. I don't think it was even
despised.
Popular. I don't think it was even popular. We didn't even get EEI, I think, in Western Mass. Anyways,
right.
But it was just like the most.
Wasn't even an option.
It was like the most stereotypical sports talk. Like the world is ending. Fire everyone. Everyone is terrible. And I think it's like bad for the Boston sports fan. You got
friends in media circles.
Yes.
I don't care. It's a joke. Most of the shows.
Well,
on the
I think
ice.
That's
terrible.
That's a popular take. You're far from alone in thinking that a lot of people say the Boston sports radio market is toxic in a lot of ways. And a young DJ for EEI made a hypercritical comment of Tom Brady's 5-year-old daughter in that based off her cameo in the Tom versus Time Facebook series. And Tom responded, and, you know, read between the lines here, fellas, and lady, and other lady. Tom could have had his agent call EEI this week and say, we're not doing the show and we're going to have to think about it. No. Tommy went on EEI for his scheduled appearance and then told them, hey, you disrespected my girl, and good for Tommy. I have to think if I'm ever going to do your show again, which is an atomic blunder for
that
radio station. Like, you are losing the best quarterback of all time because some dude thought it'd be, like, funny or edgy to make fun of a little girl. And so I just want to say, and Wes, you know, I'm going to need you for this. Mark, I'm going to need you.
Okay.
Connie. Absolutely need
I'm
you.
In,
Greg,
I'm in.
Need you to be the closer on this.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but
a formal pitch to Tom Brady to come on the Around the NFL podcast and make us your new home for Friday weekly hits.
Love this.
We make the Around the NFL podcast home. And don't get caught up that we're associated with the NFL directly and they try to ruin your career in your mind on some level or sully it to a disastrous degree. No. We'll treat you right.
Will you play the Game of Thrones, what is it? Oh, my God. Throne of Ease.
Throne of Ease?
Yes.
No, I would think we'll keep it real, but first of all, we're not going to insult your family.
Right.
Right.
B, we will not take cheap shots at you on any level.
No,
I think if
you go back and listen to the archives, you'll find almost entirely pro-Patriots coverage. I mean, the host of the show loves the team. And supports your excellence. He's never thought that you were going to go downhill. I know a lot of people out there in the media, you know, thought there might be a decline at some point.
Fabulous idea.
He believes you're still headed up.
Well, I think Brady believes that at every age you evolve, you keep evolving, and we've evolved out of. I would say, don't listen to our past shows. That's not going to help
Definitely
the case
don't.
Here. Let's start fresh. Got a couple dads in the room. If anyone took shots at our 5-, 6-, 7-year-old kids.
Yes.
We would cancel our engagements with them immediately. We get where Brady's coming from. Ditch that radio station that Greg despises and come hang with us.
And Brady, by the way, said he doesn't want that DJ fired.
I thought that was big of Brady.
He went out of a tough place.
Yeah. He said that would be the last. I like that he's a DJ now. He's like spinning records.
What if we can't get Brady, we get the DJ on with us on a weekly basis?
Definitely get him.
Yeah, you know, Tom.
Book him.
Tom's got a 5-year-old girl. I've got a 6-year-old girl. We have a lot in common.
I've got a 5-year-old boy. Maybe the Sessler family and the Brady family, you know, link for generations to come.
Colleen, once upon a time, was a 5-year-old girl.
Yeah, I was.
So all this.
A lot of ties.
Is connecting
a lot of ties
in a beautiful way. So, Tom, we'll treat you right. Come on home.
I think the only time I speak to Shadowy League figures about the podcast in the last 5 years, I like to let you and Greg handle all this.
Oh, it's fun, yeah.
The only time I say anything is don't put athletes on our show. I would make an exception for Tom Brady.
For the best quarterback ever?
Yeah. That's good.
Different.
Yeah. And an actual, like an icon of American culture. Yeah, we should do that. All right, Tom, ball's in your court, buddy.
Let's do this.
That's what's happening in the news. All right. Now, Wes wrote a banger. Let's not pussyfoot around here.
No.
No need to. Don't have to. Won't do it. Mm-hmm. We're all sitting in a hotel room together. A weird move by
no
the
way. No back support.
You know, a little bit weird. There's no back. My back is killing me. Lindsay.
Oh, we got
rolling in
look
the pillows.
At that.
Sweet. Okay.
They booked the hotel room, okay? And I respect it. It shows progress on some level that we have a hotel room specifically geared for this show.
Slumber parties.
Room 402.
Colleen, you want a third pillow here? We do have lots.
And the problem, though, is that we're doing another show on Thursday, but they didn't book a room for Wednesday, so guess who gets banged? Old Lindsay Fulton has to pack all this stuff up, move out of the room, and then come back to a new room.
Right.
So next year, you know, just get us a room for the whole week. We'll make it kind of like turn into our own like green room for the show. That's progress.
Right, because we might call ourselves heroes, but we're not going to help Lindsay clean up the room or do anything like that.
I got to wait for a ride home.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to my
I got
hotel.
Dinner plans after the show.
Poor Colleen has really put
can
in.
Can I sleep in here tonight?
You Colleen actually could.
Put in the extra time, but the reward is you are now part of our promotional materials for the next 5 years. Because we had a beautiful photo shoot at the old timey photo booth or store in the mall. You can check out our Twitter timeline. We'll put out some football pictures tomorrow. We had some, what is it?
Steampunk
pictures today.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now that's history.
I know.
It's worth it.
And even better, Colleen, you met a lot of great people from Minnesota.
A ton of awesome people.
All right.
Everybody is really nice here.
So, Wes. Yeah. Wes wrote a banger. Let's dig into it. And the crux of the piece, Wes, I'll set you up here, was that Bill Belichick, the head coach of the Patriots, is widely viewed as one of the top head coaches of all time. But what he doesn't get enough credit for is his ability to continually build a strong team around his incredible Hall of Fame quarterback. So as a personnel man, so Wes wrote a banger titled Patriots's, apostrophe there.
Yeah.
It's possessive. Top 10 personnel moves of the Bill Belichick era. So Wes, I set the table for you, buddy. Eat, baby.
Well, there's a few things going on here with Belichick as team builder. First of all, I think he understands that it's not the best 53, it's the right 53 every year. So he churns the roster. He also, as a team builder, has a unique competitive advantage of the most job security in the league. So a lot of his trades and signings come from taking chances on guys that other coaches and GMs would have their hands tied by the owner or by anybody above them on taking chances. So right off the bat, those are, to me, that's the background on Belichick as team builder. Mm.
It's a great point, that last part that you said, that ultimately he's the decision maker and that cuts out a lot of red tape. And I think that's why they are good at not keeping their mistakes, whereas GMs want to, he makes almost as many mistakes as any other personnel guy. But what I think he does is after the fact, he evaluates them more correctly. Like, okay, this is how I can use this guy. No, this was a waste. How many second round, cornerback picks have they wasted? But he gives up on it quickly because he's not trying to, protect it to make his picks look better.
Well, and also mistakes don't look as bad when you're going, and I'm not saying this in a flippant way, you're going 12-4 and 13-3 every year versus a 3-13 team that made a catastrophic draft mistake and it's got to be pinned on one or two scapegoats and they're fired.
Well, that comes from having the infrastructure. It's like the Spurs in the NBA when you had Popovich and Tim Duncan for two decades. You have that infrastructure where you build around them and mistakes don't hurt you. When you've got Brady and Bella, Brady is a mistake reducer. It doesn't matter as much when you have him.
I think what Belichick does so well is surround himself with good, smart, talented people, like in terms of the scouting department and everybody else in that front office and everybody around him, the coordinators. that is such a well-run organization top to bottom, yeah. and that's why he gets the credit that he always gets.
And he coaches all the personnel guys and the coaches, too. It's like people think Patricia and McDaniels leaving is going to kill them, and I think he's known who's going to replace them for a couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, he has those guys, and he's been grooming them on the staff.
And they get groomed on both sides of the ball. They aren't just niche specialists like they are in other organizations. They learn how to do multiple jobs. And in that, I'm surprised more organizations don't do that.
And one of the things I think he was a little ahead of the game on in terms of personnel, and I think the league is moving that way, and the Eagles are a great example, is everything should be short-term. Like short-term contracts, short-term just change everything year by year. If you look back at what he did, especially in the early part of last decade, like he wasn't about getting into 5-6 year real commitments. He's trying to change things really year by year and not worry as much about continuity.
Outside of like Adelius Thomas, but I people can look at your list and we can dig into it, but he specializes in fleecing teams that he cannot stand and fleecing teams that are disorganized and sacks of dung. I mean, like, it's the Jets over and over. He, like, got Randy Moss from a bad Raiders team, Aqib Talib from the Bucks, Wes Welker from the Dolphins, who couldn't self-scout Wes Welker the way that the Patriots could. I mean, it's like one case after the other of him fleecing teams and teams he cannot stand.
It's like, I mean, it's not exactly like fantasy football, but when you play fantasy football, you if you're the best owner in the league, you take advantage of the worst owners in the league, the ones who aren't prepared. And you offer them a bunch of garbage names for actual good players. So you do 5-for-1 deals. That's what Belichick does with teams like the Browns.
I love what the write-up about the Randy Moss trade, where Lane Kiffin had to be corrected by Al Davis at the time because he was going to get fleeced even more than they were for, what, a 4th-round pick for Moss in the end? It was going to be a 6?
It was going to be a 6, and Al Davis stepped in and accused Belichick of taking advantage of Lane Kiffin. And I can just imagine that conversation with Belichick, like the cat who ate the canary, and Al Davis comes up and sees him physically eating the canary.
Randy Moss is Wes's number one, spoiler alert, which you might find ironic if you're a real football fan because that is one move that did not bear any fruit of a Lombardi kind type.
I mean, it
type.
Bore the fruit of having the best offensive season
yes.
in NFL history.
It did that. But, all I mean, a lot of these other moves that you haven't listed, in fact, pretty much all of them, maybe Wes Welker excluded, led to guys that collected rings along the way. You know, that hurt me a little bit. You said that Belichick fleeced the Jets.
Well, he made a great point that,
the Jets fleeced themselves.
They did. It's not news to you. But in the course of like a week, they lost Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. That's like
a 24-hour period.
It's incredible. I mean,
Robert Kraft fleeced the Jets there. Yeah,
yep.
for sure.
Yeah.
But that's just life. And that's your Jets talk for the Super Bowl week.
Got it.
That reminded me when you said the Bucks fleecing them. The list is so long, and you did a great job. Corey Dillon is number 5. You had Mike Vrabel as number 4. It reminded me of a Bucks trade that was so great and didn't even make this list. LeGarrette Blount. For future Olympian track star Jeff Demps.
How many posts did we write about Jeff Demps back in the day?
He's so fast.
And he essentially never materialized.
Let's calm down with the speed angle.
I know it was the end of his career, but Junior Seau, who people wrote off, came into New England and played, I think, 4 seasons for them. That's a guy. Rob Ninkovich didn't start with New England.
Right, he was.
They brought him in. I mean, these are all these like failures. There's these incredible
Super Bowl 42. Junior Seau's last NFL game, the Giants helmet catch game? I think it might have been. It's a tough way to go out.
There are dozens of Junior Seau's that you could have put on this list.
Yeah.
Belichick taking chances on guys when the rest of the league thinks they're washed up. And on this list, I used Rodney Harrison for that category, and that's kind of what I liked about this project. There's like 10 different categories of Belichick moves, and you just use one guy as the model for that category.
Because plenty of times it's like a Kenny Britt signing or Michael Floyd, which is basically last year, which is no risk, and in a perfect world, it could be a big-time high reward. And they know the team is good enough around and the kind of organization that it's not like Kenny Britt's going to come in here and mess anything up. You can just take a look, see what happens. If it doesn't work, no one's ever going to remember.
But you learn they're not infallible when like Albert Haynesworth didn't go there and have 2 Pro Bowl seasons. That would have, I think, driven fans of every other team literally nuts. Like he's still a mess there.
They signed Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco within hours of
right.
each other.
Set back the organization. I mean, that was the worst little era or run of the Belichick era was
More
that
like
year.
Error.
I got it.
It's good, Dan. Good contribution to that conversation right there.
Twin beds.
Whoa. Right there with you. Chairs.
That's fired.
He's upset about the Minnesota people thing.
Hey, listen, I got a whole city on my back and me. What you're going to go on a teach on Fridays.
I'm in
gonna,
on that, too.
My favorite, yeah, Colleen's my favorite,
so
new,
nice.
Recurring, my favorite new recurring segment on the show is subtext between Dan and Mark.
You do.
You just find out. Yeah. I guess it's not that new.
I like open warfare between
Where are you
Greg
going
and Mark.
Right now?
I don't know. I'm trying to get comfortable.
Like you're
making everyone
a bunch
uncomfortable.
Of wires.
Greg, please sit down.
Sit down.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
We can move on to Greg's quarterback list, but but I did want to mention Deion Lewis and Danny Amendola, two guys in the Super Bowl.
They made it.
Were outstanding pickups. And Amendola, early in his Patriots career, was injured quite a bit. And Edelman rose as Amendola was falling around that time. But he's been a terrific signing. He's lasted half a decade there. And Deion Lewis signed a reserve future contract. Mm. After sitting out the entire 2014 season, he was freely available to everyone. He's become one of the most valuable players on that team.
And he was initially went to Cleveland on a good trade, I thought, for the Browns. And then the Browns shift regimes, and the next regime has no concept of Deion Lewis. So there he goes.
Michael Lombardi brought him to New England.
If you
there you go, Mark Lombardi. He
good
did
for
it.
Michael Lombardi.
He helped the Patriots. If you made like a top 10 most cold-blooded, almost jerkish moves that have. Worked out well for the Patriots. It's forcing Danny Amendola to take pay cuts in like three straight off seasons before he wins you or gets you to a third Super Bowl. His legacy, it's bizarre how valuable and important Amendola has been to them in the Super Bowl era.
And okay, so check it out, NFL.com/Wesseling to read that. And Greg wrote a top 60 quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era. In fact, you ranked every guy that started a game or appeared in a game?
Any quarterback that started a Super Bowl, including Nick Foles, who technically hasn't.
How did you rank them?
It was very, you know, time-consuming.
Dice roll.
Damashek is furious with you about this.
He was very angry.
He did not stop talking about it.
You know what? A lot of people were furious with Damashek's list when he tried a similar exercise a couple years ago. So
yeah,
he got no room.
That's what happens.
Oh, is that the? Did he do something similar to this?
No, he did.
Speaking of subtext.
Shocking that Damashek Terry Bradshaw is like.
He
the
did something. I give it.
No, he really
Damashek
likes it.
Is very passionate about it. Given that he cares.
No, so. I don't take any offense. He essentially was promoting it with his seven tweet straight storm about what I got wrong with it. So I was fine with that. It was good. I basically looked at who had the best career, and to me, I think you can judge a quarterback better in 16-game regular season increments. And playoffs obviously matter, but at some point, then you get to a position if you really are valuing the playoffs that, like, you know, Eli Manning is better than Dan Marino or Trent Dilfer is better than some other quarterback that's never even appeared in a Super Bowl. And I don't think that's fair. You have to look at the context around it. So I really kind of valued, was he one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the league in a given year? Or what kind of all-pro teams did he make? Was he a top five quarterbacks in a given year? Was he top 10? I looked at, you know, kind of like the statistical yards per attempt, stuff like that.
Well, what if he didn't start the whole season?
Well, this was their whole career. So it was like who had the whole – it wasn't really about – if you started a game
– It's not the Super Bowl season.
You made the list, right. But it's just who had the best career. So a guy like Dan Marino – still ends up number five, even though he only made one.
I'm proud of you, Greg. I thought you were going to be petty and bury Eli and put him at, like, number 58 and then be like, oh, he was never great for more than one season, all that stuff. But is it, you know, you have him in the fun to watch, which is like, you know.
Eli's really not, although he was in the 2011
All right,
season.
So you did a poor job with the list then, you're saying.
Well, everyone else in that group, it was kind of a fun to watch.
But he's,
you know,
also
you make seven tiers. You just got to make up some names.
No, but I'm just – it is interesting to note, although you have him at 29, that he's – and you have 2-0 with the Giants and two of the most iconic wins for the organization in their history because they both came over Belichick and Brady. Everyone else on the list lost their one Super Bowl appearance with the exception of Russell Wilson. So I don't know. I feel like – my only quibble.
Well, if you look at the next year,
maybe he goes up a tier just because the level that he achieved in the Super Bowl itself. But that's fine.
Yeah,
because
on Eli Manning, I understand that there's differences in the room about Eli Manning. But what is the credibility given to someone that didn't miss a game for like a decade plus?
That much on our podcast.
Kind of amazing,
especially with that offensive line.
That's why he's as high as he is. He's higher than guys like Joe Theismann or Phil Sims or Jaworski or Bledsoe.
Lower than Ken
who actually all of those
Ken Anderson Ken Anderson's, a much better quarterback.
And that was what was fun about this exercise was kind of figuring out who at least I thought were maybe underrated or I didn't realize had such great careers. Ken Anderson seems like maybe the most underrated quarterback that's not in the Hall of Fame, the quarterback that should be in the Hall of Fame. Daryl LaMonica was another guy that stood out to me. Bob Greasy, people like to trash on, but if you just look at his numbers year after year, he's pretty incredible. And if you look at Eli, I mean, look, he's ahead of all those guys like Jaws and, and Bledsoe, who are in the top five in the league a lot more often than Eli Manning.
By the way, I would much rather have Steve McNair than Eli Manning.
Right, and he's ahead of McNair. And Jim Plunkett, who won two Super Bowls, is way down on the list at 41.
It shows you to me, because, and I think the challenge for, we can get into this, but we're all of a certain age where we did not watch some of these quarterbacks.
Right.
Live, so that's
most
the challenge.
Yeah.
Well, but we're at an age difference where my childhood was imbued with John Elway. I mean, it was like he was the villain of my childhood, but then I grew to respect him when he won those late Super Bowls. And at first I was like, what's he doing at number nine? But then it's like, no, you're right. He fits at number nine, and it reminds you how many wonderful quarterbacks we've had a chance to watch over the years. But Elway is not a statistical quarterback. He was a magician who did incredible stuff. And Steve Young is sort of the same way, but he was, by the end, his stats were out of control. Elway was someone that you put the ball in his hand with 5 minutes to go in the game. I don't care what's happening. You had a belief that he was going to get it done. He was hurt by losing those early Super Bowls, but the way he finished his career is pretty incredible.
The first eight guys on this list, the eight guys ahead of John Elway, what they all have in common is that some point in their career, they all begged the question, is he playing the position at the highest level it's ever been played?
Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Brett Favre,
Goat
Steve
pasture.
Young, and Aaron Rodgers would be
Goat
those
pasture.
Guys.
I like that
category, Goat Pasture. That's a nice
Very nice.
And
nicely done, Greg.
I think Elway, after his career was over, a lot of people would have him in the top five rather than nine. But I don't think when he was playing, anyone ever said he's the best to ever do it.
No, I just found him. Montana, he was just fascinating to watch.
To me, like growing up in the 80s, everybody knew Marino was better than Elway. But then after their careers was over, because Elway went to the Super Bowls, people lumped him over Marino.
Yep.
And apologies to Rex Grossman. Bringing up the rear at number 60.
Someone had to do it.
Somebody had to do it.
I did hear a lot of...
Tony Eason's like, yes!
I heard a lot from a lot of people, though, Bears fans, that were like, come on, David Woodley? Shouldn't he be best? Like, I don't know.
Tony Eason, I mean, he's like, David, I get why he's down here, but Tony Eason was a bit of a workman-like quarterback. He wasn't a disaster.
He only started, like, 10 more games after the Super Bowl, and he only was a starter for about two seasons. I gave credit to, like, did you even play? And he didn't have a lot of
Rex
that.
Grossman is like
Stan Humphrey.
He has not
Nick
left.
Nick Foles, three spots higher.
Nick Foles is 57 right now. He has a chance to move up with a nice
That's
Sunday.
Pretty low, but I get it. Rex Grossman has not left his man cave since seeing this article. His wife's like, honey, are you going to come upstairs? You said you were going to grill. Not yet. Rosenthal banged me.
I mean, him getting slashed as like a non-entity quarterback in the Super Bowl is a new thing for him? It's got, I would, I'm
yeah, blind. But
he's sub
60. 60
is rough because you don't get a lot of top 60 lists for Super
it's
Bowl
hard to,
stuff.
It's so. Hard to come back from that.
Yeah, he's that, not
he was ended.
For
Greg
out.
Ended him, basically.
No grilling.
So that was brutal.
But, I mean, he's got a great nickname.
Smashes the grill.
Sexy Rexy. NFL.com/Rosenthal to see that full list.
I unpublished the article, actually, a few minutes ago.
Oh, you did. So. Okay, so if you could find the cached version,
and
perhaps.
To the gentleman out there, the huge Joe Cap fan that says he should be 47 instead of 53, back off, Joe Cap guy.
Whoa.
Joe Cap.
And respect.
Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
Keep you in that box, man.
You know, some...
Joe Cap, owner of the Vikings, another shot by Greg at Minnesota. But shot by most of you in this room at Minnesota.
Nice
Settle
people
down.
Minnesota.
Most, they're
Very
nice people.
People.
Most drops kind of come and go. They each have their own like life.
Yeah.
You know, just Shelf they kind of die naturally. But that one persists.
You know, yeah. Amber Theo Harris could not be more excited that it's still floating out there,
really
generating
well
the tweets she gets.
So
are you guys messing with me?
She's a good sport about
really.
It.
Great sport. All right. What was that, Wes?
I got nothing.
All right, here you go. That's it. That's the Tuesday show from the hotel room. Schedule. People have been asking for the schedule.
Oh, I got to go. I have a meeting. I got to get out of here.
Can I say one real quick thing?
Yes, go ahead.
We're going to enjoy this. For Super Bowl week, we received from an incredible listener, Christopher Watching, who is a big fan of Wes, a $100 donation for beers and drinks.
Whoa.
Mr. F, and we'll talk more about this one down the list, Mr. F and a contingent of people from across the sea.
My man Charlie Barker.
Charlie Barker and others, and we'll mention all their names next episode, gave us $120 for TGI Fridays.
Wow.
And Elliot and Pete Chalmers, friends from L.A., sent us multiple packs of beer. They have a 12 Eyes Brewery in St. Paul. And they just shot
the
beers to us. I'm just saying, the Shadowy League figures are on their heels because we have a lot of alcohol and funds have been shipped our way.
You know,
funds for whatever.
Public radio, they have their telethons every once in a while. You spend $25, you know, you get a tote bag. You just send us $25 of beer and you get your name on the podcast. Actually, I don't know if we can really do this.
No.
It's too many names.
This is payola.
You probably draw them a picture.
Well, we love you all.
And another shout out to the elder Sessler, right?
Oh, yeah. My dad had surgery today, hip replacement surgery. He's doing well, but he listens to the show.
Ed's a listener.
They do. They watch all our NFL Network hits,
Devin
too.
Keith, they retired. Yep. They listen to all the podcasts now as well.
I found out they watched every one of our Pick'em episodes, and I tried to describe
underwhelming, right?
Some were good. Others were a bit wanting, but they, you know, they're parents, so they were supportive matter.
Great parents.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. My mom listens to every show. Shout out to Debbie. So that's
Colleen,
good.
What's your dad's name?
Ed.
So is mine. That's crazy.
Whoa,
what a popular
Ed's.
Name in,
whoa.
In like the 1940s. Everybody was named
my
Ed.
My dad's name is Ed, too. No, his brother is.
Really?
Oh,
there's
your uncle.
Ed Hansis.
So you're
oh, my God.
Well, Ed good luck to all the Ed's. Hansis.
Wait, it's getting weird.
It was like 40.
Greg, close it out.
40%. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, damn it.
No Ed. Edward Rosenthal.
40% Ed.
No way.
Weird. It's got to be an Ed Rosenthal.
I'll Google search Ed Rosenthal as we close out here.
Unfortunately,
take a picture of Greg and Ed Rosenthal. It's like Greg's hiding this man's
there
identity.
Is. Actually, the first thing that comes up, Ed Rosenthal's site, Growing Cannabis.
Well, there's a lot of Rosenthals.
Oh,
checks out.
Wow.
Unfortunately, that side of the family kind of taken out by the Holocaust. So we got Tom and we
bring
got
it down
Hines.
A little bit, Greg.
Yeah, it was a rough
It was history, you know? It's just fact.
Do you want to talk about the opioid epidemic while we're here?
Well, now that you say that, I did notice.
How about some 9/11 talk?
In the bathroom at the mall,
they have
a box where you can put your dirty syringes. In every bathroom at the Mall of America, it's like, you know, the buck to be safe.
I was
safe.
Thinking that's for, like, diabetes.
That's pretty standard.
They have that in our work bathroom, too.
Yeah, our work bathrooms.
I thought that was only for places that had opioid epidemic.
Born 32.
Greg projecting.
Really endearing yourself to all the Minnesotans.
All right.
Get off the crank,
amazing
Minnesotans.
All right. We'll be back on Thursday. So, yeah, we'll have a Thursday – late Thursday of the show will go up. That will be our Thursday Super Bowl preview. We'll break it all down. Of course, Sunday night after the game, we will be doing a recap that night. So make sure you hit refresh on your podcast app of choice. Don't even have to. It's kind of like an auto.
Well, if people thing. Subscribe. Right?
If you don't subscribe.
Very important.
You know, what's your problem? And the Tuesday thing that we shot, the video show and all the shenanigans in the mall today. Pretty silly, but we had a good time. And you may like it. It might be horrible. We'll see. But
no, you're going to love it.
Erica Tamposi does great work.
She'll get
Cannon,
it done.
So she's going to be pulling it together. That's going to go up late Friday on the website. So a lot of stuff coming your
feeding
way.
Feeding sharks.
There
feeding
was a lot sharks, going on. That event nearly killed us, so please watch it.
Yeah. So, but until Thursday, Dan Hans is signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, Tiny Box, The Old Boss, and Lindsay Bolton behind, next to me on the bed. That's how it works. Till Thursday.
That works.